Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Last week, Dave shared with us an alpha video around who the Holy Spirit is. And I know a lot of people loved that video. If you didn't get to see it, there was a link in our Be Connected email last week that you could catch up on that. If you don't get our email, please put your name and email address in the box or come and see me because there's a lot of great resources that go in there. So, but I just wanted to give a quick overview for those of you who weren't here or just to kind of keep us up to speed on the Holy Spirit. So, we know that in the beginning of creation, we find that the Holy Spirit is hovering over the earth. And we find the Holy Spirit in this role of creator. And he is creating, he's bringing life to the earth, and he's bringing life to humankind. And there's a Hebrew word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit called ruach, which means breath of God. So it's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is like the breath of God that breathes life and energy into all of humankind. And then following on from the beginning of creation, we see the Holy Spirit turning up in the Old Testament in specific ways at specific times. So the Holy Spirit was like an appointing and anointing spirit. He wasn't present all the time, but he would turn up in order to anoint someone to achieve God's purpose. And there's so many different examples of this. We see the Holy Spirit work through Joseph as he begins to interpret dreams. We see the Holy Spirit come upon, I can never say his name right, Bezalel. He was an artist in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came on him and gave him skills to craft the temple. So he was a craftsman. So there's that kind of creative skill that the Holy Spirit deposited. Then there was Samson, and the Holy Spirit came on Samson and gave him great strength. Joshua was given wisdom to lead. Caleb was given an obedience that went beyond normal obedience. Gideon was given courage. He was one of the most fearful leaders in the Bible, and he was given great courage. Moses was given guidance and provision. And then there was all the prophets, and we, you know, spoke about Haggai back at staycation and how the Holy Spirit brought a word to Haggai and how the Holy Spirit moved in the hearts of people so they would respond to the word. So all through the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit coming and anointing and appointing people to be used in God's purpose. But the believers in the Old Testament, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, believed and they had a hope that one day the Holy Spirit would not just be for specific people, but the Holy Spirit would be given to all people and that they would live with the permanent presence of God. And in Joel 2, the prophet Joel speaks to this, where he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So God's promise was that he was going to do something new, not just for some people, for certain tasks, but for all people, regardless of race, of gender, or status. So then in the New Testament, we have the birth of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere surrounding the birth of Jesus. I mean, Mary conceives Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that story when she goes to see Elizabeth and her baby jumps in her womb as she's filled with the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is all around the birth of Jesus and moving in a new way. At the baptism of Jesus, where he's really commissioned into his ministry, we see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And the Lord says, here is my son who is well pleased. And he was filled with the Spirit. And he began to minister, to perform many signs and wonders in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible said he spoke with an authority that was different to the teachers of the law that came from the Holy Spirit. Shortly afterwards, after his baptism in the temple, he quoted the words of the prophet Isaiah about himself. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are free. I have come to share this message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. So God was doing something new. He was drawing people to salvation. And the Spirit of God was not just for the Jews, but it was for all people. As he approached his death, in the days following his resurrection, Jesus reassured his disciples, saying that although he would leave them soon, he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them forever. And the Holy Spirit would be their guide and their counselor, and he would empower them to share his love with the world. In Acts 1:4-8, we read this, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the next thing that happens is we find the disciples and the believers gathered on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit descends. And we get this incredible imagery in the Bible. We get the imagery of a rushing wind. So it sort of symbolizes the invisible power of God. And we get this imagery of tongues of fire coming to rest on the heads of the people. And it's a symbolism of the holy presence of God. So we've got the power of God and we've got the presence of God. And all the believers were filled with the Spirit, with the power and presence of God. And this was evidence as they began to speak in other tongues. And this is kind of symbolizing the fact that God was calling them to be witnesses to all nations. So they all started to speak in different tongues. It was evidence that they were being filled with his Spirit. And on this day at Pentecost, this new Spirit filled the people. And what was birthed was a Spirit-led movement of Jesus. This was the day that the church as we know it was birthed. Now, why did this happen at Pentecost? So the Holy Spirit, we often think of Pentecost as the time in Acts when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But Pentecost was a Jewish festival that the people observed every year. They have Passover, where they would remember that God rescued them through Moses out of slavery in Egypt and brought them freedom. And then 50 days later, they would have Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, in which they would remember and celebrate that God not only rescued them from slavery, but he brought them into the Promised Land, a land overflowing with milk and honey. So it's not a coincidence that God chooses to pour out his Spirit right in the middle of this festival of Pentecost, on this day where they are celebrating the fact that God is the provider, that he leads them into a promised land that is overflowing with milk and honey. And on this day, God fulfills his promise and he says, "I've not only come to bring salvation to all people, but I've come to give you a full life, overflowing with my love and my goodness. I've come to provide for you in every way." So our goal as believers today is not to try to recreate another Pentecost. That was a single moment in time and history where God poured out his Spirit and birthed his church in a new way that would be filled with his permanent presence and power. Our goal is to embrace, or our work is to embrace, the gift of the Holy Spirit in our own lives today. His presence is with us and his power is available to us each and every day. You know, God intends for us to be a Spirit-led people and a Spirit-led community. You've been given this incredible gift. Our job is to learn how to embrace that, to receive it, to embrace it, and to use it in our lives. So if we're called to be a Spirit-led people and a Spirit-led community, where is it that the Holy Spirit leads us? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit leads us into the presence of God's love. Romans 5:5 in the Passion Translation says this: we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to a revelation of God's love for us, to a revelation of what Jesus did for us on the cross and what we just remembered when we took communion, that Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us, that God has chosen you, that he has created and formed you, that he loves you as he loved Jesus. And he says, this is my child with whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit's role is to lead us into a greater revelation of that love. It starts with salvation. You know, we as believers don't lead other people to salvation. We get to share who God is, but it's the Holy Spirit who leads someone to salvation. That's his job. Our job is to share who God is, to point to Jesus. But it just doesn't end with salvation. It's a continual journey, isn't it, of being led into the presence of God's love, because we need to encounter his love over and over and over again, and he wants that for us. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just long to give us kind of a warm, fuzzy, lovely experience. His end goal is not just that you would feel loved. He wants that for you, but his goal is not just around your experience. The Holy Spirit has more for us than that. You know, and there's been seasons in church and times in my journey when that goal, you know, we got a little bit confused, and it was all about seeking an experience of God. A wonderful experience for me. But I think that the Holy Spirit has so much more to do in our lives. The Holy Spirit longs to lead us into the fullness of life and love that Jesus was on about. As we give him permission to work in our hearts, to take the lead, he shapes us. And he slowly releases us from all the things that tend to muddy our identity, all the things that kind of get on top of who God has created us to be. He leads us to healing from things in our past, from words that have been spoken over us, from lies of the enemy. He leads us to freedom from fear and anxiety. He leads us into greater places of confidence in him. Sometimes, you know, he leads us gently and slowly, bit by bit, bringing us into a greater understanding of who God is, helping us to hand things over to him, renewing our thinking and our mind. But sometimes we have those power encounter moments with the Holy Spirit, where he takes us by surprise, or, you know, steps in and gets our attention. He tends to work in a kind of big, crazy, supernatural way. And I'm sure many of us have experienced both of those things. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to kind of unpack some of this work that he does in us in more specific ways in our messages. So the Holy Spirit leads us into his love, into his presence. The Holy Spirit leads us into transformation. He shapes, renews, redeems who we are. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. He has a greater purpose even than that. Because the Holy Spirit leads us into his purpose. Because his desire is that more would experience the presence of God's life-changing love. You know, Jesus was one man who loved the world with everything he was. But he knew for this message of love to spread, he needed to multiply himself. And Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The Spirit leads us and helps us to continue the work of Jesus in the world, to be his witnesses. And that word witness means to give evidence of. That's our job, to give evidence of God to others in the world. Until the kingdom of God is completely restored. And how do we go about doing that? Well, with the Holy Spirit's help, we begin to love people, to accept and forgive in the way that Jesus did, to care for others and to bless, to pray, and to share our story of what God is doing in our own lives with other people. Sometimes we can complicate what God's called us to, but it's really very simple. You know, it makes me think about the woman at the well who encountered Jesus, you know, and he loved and accepted her. He didn't bring judgment. He shared with her a new way of life, a new way of freedom, a fullness of love that she hadn't yet experienced. And she went away from that encounter with him transformed and changed. And then the next thing she did is she went to share with others what she'd experienced herself. And that's what the Holy Spirit invites us into. You know, we are all shaped and empowered in different ways with different personalities, talents and abilities and gifts. But we all have the same goal, which is simply to spread the love of Jesus with others. So we have this sense of who the Holy Spirit is, and we have this understanding that he is calling us to be Spirit-led people. And he is leading us into his love, he is leading us into transformation, and he is leading us into his purpose of sharing his love with others. So our work as believers then is to learn more and more how to let the Holy Spirit lead. To cultivate our capacity to discern and respond to the Holy Spirit's move within our own lives and the lives of other people. That's our challenge, to learn how to let the Holy Spirit lead. I wonder, how are you going with that? We've got a little bit of time this morning, so I'm going to give you like 5-10 minutes. Just have a little chat with the people around you. Now, it's fine if you go, look, I really don't know if I hear from the Holy Spirit. I really don't have a sense. You just be honest, okay? I'm not asking you to make up something this morning, but I'm really interested in you just reflecting for a minute before I go on. How are you going with letting the Holy Spirit lead in your life? In terms of leading you into the presence of God's love, leading you in your own transformation, and leading you in his purpose of sharing the love of God with others. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to reflect on that. I'm not going to ask you to call out your answers at the end, okay? So I'll tell you that now. You can just be completely honest and comfortable with whoever you're sitting next to, but I just want you to take some time to think about it in the middle of this message. So I don't know about you, but if when I asked myself that question, I thought, oh, I feel like I'm really struggling to stay in step with the Spirit. You know, there's so many things that seem to come against us living in step with the Spirit. You know, first off, life is full of distractions, right? And I think this time that we live in is noisier than, well, I don't know if people from the years gone by would say this, but I feel like there's more going on in our world than ever before, competing for our attention. You know, on your phones, on the TV, newspaper, friends that need you. You know, there's so much competing for our attention, but just getting still or getting silent enough to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is a challenge. You know, but when I read the Bible and I look at the pattern of Jesus' life, you know, he was constantly with people in the middle of the noise, and then he was balancing that all the time by withdrawing and being with the Father. And there was this beautiful balance to what he did. So I'm challenged about creating space and silence and stillness. You know, sometimes even when you get into silence, it takes you a little while to actually be still. Not to say that we can't hear the Holy Spirit right in the middle of the noise, right in the middle of our day. Otherwise, mothers would have no hope, right? He's bigger than that. You know, he can whisper above all of the tensions and everything else that is going on. But sometimes being able to draw away and be still and quiet. I find the shower is a time when the Holy Spirit's, but maybe that's because I'm a mother, but in the shower, I don't know, I think it's because you're doing one of the, or driving the car where you're just doing an automated behavior. And so your brain's not kind of thinking about anything, is when I'll often hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. You know, I struggle because oftentimes, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit's voice is competing with other voices in my life. You know, I feel like I'm up against, I can hear what God is trying to say, but I can also hear the voice of the enemy. He's, you know, always opposing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? That's the reality. We live in the middle of a spiritual battle. Two spiritual forces, good and evil. One that is for us having a full life, and one that is trying to keep us enslaved. And so, and then you've got the voices of other people in your life, and sometimes they echo the Holy Spirit, and I think sometimes they echo the enemy, you know, or they come from their own selfish place. And so you're battling with all these voices. And so this is where the Word of God is so important. You know, going back to Jesus' example, when he's in the desert and the enemy comes against him, he constantly says, "It is written, this is what my Father says." You know, and the Holy Spirit will bring back to us the Word of God in those moments when we need it. But if we don't have the Word of God in us, it's very hard for him to bring that stuff back. I mean, I think sometimes he just drops in something new, and then later you're reading the Word of God and go, "Oh, that's what God said to me." But more often than not, he will bring back to mind what is already in your heart and your spirit. And so that's where the Word of God is so important if we want to be people that are walking in step with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works in line with the Word of God in our lives. Sometimes I struggle to let the Holy Spirit lead because I don't want to let him lead. You know, I find it hard to let go of control. You know, because the Holy Spirit, I found, is not in the habit, well, God is not in the habit of revealing the entire plan with all of the details. He's not in the habit of sitting down with you at the start of 2018 and going, "Right, this is what's going to happen, April, May, June," you know, and laying it out. "Right, I've got it. I'm with you, Lord." He's not in the habit of doing that. I don't know if he does it for anyone else. I'm entirely jealous if he does, but he doesn't do it for me. More often than not, I find that the Holy Spirit will prompt me with a little thing, a little part. And then he'll wait for me to take a step towards that before the next part becomes obvious. So it's like he lays the path one step at a time as we go. That causes me to freak out a little bit because I'm a little bit into certainty in my life, and that feels quite uncertain and vulnerable. So I find it hard to trust God when I don't have all the information, when I don't know all the details, when it doesn't always make sense to me yet what he is doing. Anyone else in that? Yes, a few people. And so that's where I find, and where I'm challenged right now actually in my life, to be meditating on who God is. That he is the creator of the world. That he is sovereign. That he's so on top of things, my goodness. So on top of it. He knows exactly what is going on in your life. He's working things together for your good. He is the good shepherd. And we don't have to lack because he is pouring out his spirit. He's providing overflowing presence and power for us. So that's what I need to come back to. Who is my God? And remind myself daily of who he is. so that I can grow in my capacity to trust him and to step out as he leads. Sometimes I find it hard to follow the lead of the Spirit because of my own stuff, my flesh, what's going on in me. Sometimes it's fear, anxiety, sometimes it's doubt. Sometimes it's because of my need for approval. How will others think of me if I do that? Sometimes it's my need for comfort. I just want to stay here. I know how life works here. I feel comfortable here. I don't want to take that step and use my gift in that way. That's scary. What if it doesn't go well? What if I fail? You know, all of our own stuff. Sometimes my pain. Sometimes it's hard to let go of that and invite the Holy Spirit into that. Sometimes it's just because I'm lazy. Just lazy. I'm selfish. You know, just want to have it my way and do my thing and not be bothered. Sometimes I know how God's prompting me and I fail to act. And that really is about a lack of obedience. And so it's a challenge to learn not only to discern how God is leading, but to actually be obedient to his leading is a whole nother journey that we take. Thankfully, God is so gracious to us in that. He gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to grow. He meets us exactly where we're at and goes, let me just work with you and bit by bit reveal myself to you, and bit by bit you will learn to work with me. I take comfort in the fact that Paul describes this struggle in Galatians 5. So I'm figuring it's a pretty normal struggle for us as believers to have. In Galatians 5, verse 16, he says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict." Everyone say conflict. "With each other, so that you do not do what you want." This is a relief, don't you think? We are living in the midst of conflicting forces. Like, I don't know my Marvel gear, but I feel like we're in the conflicted universe of forces, you know? We've got the self, the flesh, that wants, you know, to do our own thing and be in charge and is lazy and all that stuff. And then we've got the Spirit of God, and he's slowly transforming us and speaking to us and leading us. And then we've got the voice of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness who's opposing everything God's doing us. And then we've just got the crazy world that is distracting and doing its bit, and everyone around us. So we live in the midst of this conflict, and it's normal. It's our reality. And we need to not pretend it's not happening. It's there. And we need to not feel shameful about that conflict, because that just gives the enemy more fuel to throw back at us. We live in the midst of these conflicting forces. So what do we do? It's like, oh, well, it's all too hard. I'm conflicted. There's no hope. No. Unfortunately, Paul does go on. He doesn't say that it's okay just for us to go, oh, well, I'm conflicted. He goes on in verse 24 and he says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So what he's saying there is, when you became a believer, when you gave your life to Jesus, you were given the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit's help, you can overcome all of the other things that work against us. And you can learn to live in step with him, that you might experience the fullness of life that Jesus has for you. And that happens bit by bit, and then sometimes all of a sudden as well. It's both and, not either or. So we can learn, we can get better at staying in step with the Spirit, and we can learn how to surrender our own agenda and let the Holy Spirit lead in our life. So I've been thinking about this idea of surrender, and I think there's two ways we can approach surrender. And I realised I've been doing the first one a fair bit. It's not that helpful. So the first one I've called had enough surrender. So you know when you've been trying to do something, you've been trying to, whatever your scenario is or your story is, and then there's a point where you go, oh, God, right, I've had enough, you deal with it. You fix him, you sort out my finances, I'm crap, I can't do this on my own, I've tried my hardest, I'm done. And we call that surrender. So we kind of take all our stuff and we dump it on God and go, right, it's yours. I'll be over here when you've sorted it out. I don't know if anyone relates to that, but, you know, like we try and we're striving and we try to do the right thing and try to live the spirit of that. Ah, it's too hard. I'm done. But had enough. You could also call that maybe hissy fit surrender, depending on the day, right? But then I think there's another type of surrender. And this one I've called humble surrender. And so instead of saying, I've had enough, and leaving it with God over there and coming over here, we say, God, I don't know what else to do. Holy Spirit, I need help. Would you come into the middle of this thing, of this day, of this tantrum with my 2-year-old, of this financial difficulty, of this problem I'm having at work? And would you help me? I think the two spaces are really different. And I'm trying to learn how to do number two more and more, to actually not run from whatever it is, the conflicting forces, what I'm doing or dealing with, but to invite the Spirit of God right into the middle of it. And to say, would you lead me? And not just would you lead me out of it, not just would you fix it, but how do you want to use this, God, to shape who I'm becoming? What are you actually doing in me in the midst of this circumstance? What is it that you're speaking to in my future in the midst of this struggle? Like really leaning in and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and to shape you and to impart stuff to you. When we do that, I think that there's incredible fruit and benefits for us in our lives. Paul goes on in this Galatians passage to talk about the benefits of letting the Spirit lead. And he says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. You'll have joy that overflows. You'll have a peace that subdues. You'll have patience that endures. You'll have kindness in action. You'll have a life full of virtue. You'll have a faith that prevails. You'll have a gentleness of heart and a strength of spirit. How's that for a list of things? I'm like, I want more of that in my life. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us as we learn to walk with him. But not only that, yeah, Dion actually sent me a word of encouragement this morning with this verse, and I thought this is the perfect end to the message this morning. Because not only does he produce all these benefits, but he actually leads us to a place of rest. This verse out of Matthew. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How beautiful is that? The more we learn to let the Holy Spirit lead, the less we strive and the more we rest in Him. Now that's a place that I want to walk in more and more. Less striving, more resting. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, faith, gentleness, strength. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life for me, and of course that is going to bless the people around me as well.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show His love, grace and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact He has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.